You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And thank you for tuning in this morning. It's 9 o'clock in Chicago. You're listening to Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Flying solo this morning and grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. This is the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago on this Monday morning. So great beginning of the week to you all. I hope nobody's suffering from a soggy basement, but I realize that probably is the case for many of you out there. So our prayers and thoughts go with you, and may you soon be dry. Actually, we're suffering from the very same thing here at the Archdiocesan Pastoral Center. Our lower level was inundated this past weekend, and so a good number of us are being relocated to different spaces because of the wetness and the moisture down in this lower level. So keep us in your prayers as well. It's a big challenge for those who are responsible for these facilities, and pray that we can just all do it with good humor. Very excited this morning. We're going to be talking to some very interesting people about a couple of fascinating topics, and the first is about the new Roman Missal. I spend a couple of my days each week at our Archdiocesan Publishing House, Liturgy Training Publications, and you could characterize the past 6 months there as Missal Mania. There's been just a tremendous amount of focus on the new edition of the Roman Missal that we will begin using in our parishes at the beginning of Advent in the end of November. So in the studio this morning, we have Danielle Knott, who is an editor at LTP, and it has been her privilege, responsibility, onus, burden, whatever you might call it, to really kind of lead the way for LTP in all things related to the Missal. And together with Danielle, we have Anna Manhart, who is the art director and designer at Liturgy Training Publication, and who has been the driving force behind the artistic elements of the new Roman Missal. Welcome, Anna and Danielle.
Thank you. It's good Hi. To be here.
Now, Danielle, you're no stranger to the microphone. You and Todd Williamson do how often?
It's once a month, the fourth Wednesday of every month. We do focus on the liturgy together.
So I'm sure you've spoken about the Missal there.
We have. Actually, for the last year, every segment of the show has been on the Missal. We've been actually breaking it apart piece by piece and going through a lot of the changes that will occur and comparing it with the old text and talking about the new and the rationale for the translation and so forth. So, and we're still going to be continuing to do that, I think, through September, if I'm not mistaken.
Excellent. Well, just a real, crib note version of why a new Roman Missal?
Oh, sure. Well, in a nutshell, this is actually the Missal of John Paul II, and he promulgated this Missal in 2000 to basically inaugurate the new millennium. And one of the reasons for the new Missal, and this is the third edition, it's the third edition in Latin, and of course, all of our prayers that we say at Mass originate in Latin, so we're talking about an English translation of that third edition. But practically, as many people know, John Paul II canonized many, many saints, and those that were added to the general calendar for liturgical celebrations needed an order of prayer for those days. So that was added to the Missal. But also, after that Missal was promulgated in 2000, in 2001, a document was issued called Liturgiam Authenticum, which changed the methodology for the translation process. And prior to that, we had a process called dynamic equivalence, which basically takes the general meaning of the text, but it's moved into formal equivalence, which has a more literal translation of the Latin.
So the translation we'll be using is closer, literally, word for word, to the Latin original.
In most cases, and one of the prime examples of that is, the Lord be with you and also with you is what we're saying now, but the Latin for that response is Ecum Spiritu Tuo, and that's now going to be and with your spirit. But one of the great things...
I always thought that was God's phone number. Ecum Spiritu Tuo. No?
No.
Oh, somebody lied to me when I was a little kid. Okay.
No, it's a more literal translation of that Latin, obviously. And actually, one of the great things about that is it brings us closer with many of the other translations. For example, German, Italian, and Spanish, in their vernacular translations, they've been saying their equivalent of and with your spirit all along. So this brings us more in closer unity with everyone else.
So these changes are going to impact everyone. The presider, the priest celebrant, mm-hmm. Some of the words he says will mm-hmm. be different, but it'll also affect us as the assembly.
Absolutely. A lot of the responses that there's a variation in the extent of the changes. You're going to see more changes in the invitation to Holy Communion and the response. The Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. It's now, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. With being more literal to the Latin, the scriptural allusions in scripture is going to be more clear. That comes from the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. So it's your Paul Turner, who's a noted theologian and liturgist, he says it's going to open our ears to scripture. We're going to hear it more, which is a great benefit to the translation. And in our catechesis about it, it opens the doors for not only liturgical catechesis, but scriptural catechesis.
Domine non sum degnum ut entres subtectum meum sed tantum di verbo et sinabitur anima mea. Altar boy, 50 years later, you know, how often do I say those words? Some stuff sticks. Mm-hmm. See, aren't we lucky? Mm-hmm. So that's right. So that is literally, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, mm-hmm. but only say the word and I shall be healed. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're going back to?
And many people will remember that from the when the Mass was initially translated into English. A lot of these responses that we're going to be saying are what we said immediately after Vatican II.
Yeah. Anna, you've been very much involved in the artistic presentation of the new Roman Missal. I want to get back to talking about some of the specifics of producing a missal, but I was at the National Pastoral Musicians Conference this past week, and I have to tell you, in particular, in public, for all the world to hear, that your cover that you designed for this missal got rave reviews. People kept coming to the LTP booth telling us that it was the most beautiful thing they had seen, that this is what they wanted, because it had, and they took this line right from Liturgiam Authenticam, a noble simplicity. Mm. People were just struck by the simplicity and the nobility, the elegance of the cover design. Can you tell us a little bit about where that design came from? Maybe you could describe it for us, first of all.
Well, it's a cross based on an 11th century Italian ivory carving that we found when we laid out a bunch of crosses on a table and we're looking at style. It was really a style question and a decision to use that. And we felt it would be a good blend of traditional and modern and simple.
So you started with the idea of a cross right from the beginning?
Actually, no. We started with a concept. A group of us got together and talked about ideas, and we started with a tree of life. Mm-hmm. Then we had artists turn in sketches, several, and it didn't seem to be working out so well. So then we went back and just looked at the tradition mm-hmm. of missals.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to mark it with a cross. You know, the cross is obviously the center, the primary symbol of faith, and we thought that was obviously a fitting image for the cover of the book. And as I'm really glad to hear that noble simplicity was some of the reactions to the missal, because that was really what we were going for.
We always kept those words in mm-hmm. mind the whole way through.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful cross, and in the center is the Alpha and the Omega and the Cairo. Right
now, were
the
those part of the original design, or is that an element you added?
It was an element that neatly fit into the center of the carving with the wreath around it. So that was a little bit of our contribution mm-hmm. to the design.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a brilliant idea. All right, on that note, we're going to take a short break and then come back and continue this conversation. If you have any questions about the revisions in the missal, give us a call at 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. You're listening to Catholic Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for tuning in. This Monday morning, we're talking about the revisions of the Roman Missal. Come November 27th, the beginning of Advent, we're going to be saying some new words as we celebrate the Eucharist on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. And that is because Rome has issued a new, has mandated a new translation of the Roman Missal. I think that's the reason. And so Liturgy Training Publication, which is the publishing house owned by the Archdiocese of Chicago, has been very busy at work throughout this past year, preparing a lot of materials. Today we're focusing specifically on the Missal itself. Danielle, how many pages are we talking about?
It's 1,520.
Wow.
It's about 300 pages more than the current sacramentary.
300 pages more.
Mm-hmm. And primarily, obviously, as we said before, there's more saints' days that are in that. The Eucharistic prayers for children have actually been eliminated, but the masses for use in various needs and occasions have been added. So those are four additional Eucharistic prayers, as well as the addition of much more chant than in the previous sacramentary. So there's a strong encouragement to really sing the liturgy. So every preface has a chant. The Eucharistic prayers 1 through 4 are set to chant, and there's actually two different versions, a solemn and a simple tone, for Eucharistic prayer 1. Many of the, like, there's three versions of the Lord's Prayer. There's two versions of the Creed, two versions of the Gloria.
I know if I were a priest, it would scare the heck out of me to have to think about chanting the Eucharistic prayer, but I know that LTP has created some resources for that as well.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Michael Jonkis, who's a known composer and theologian.
Who wrote?
On Eagle's Wings.
On Eagle's Wings.
We were fortunate to have him record the entire order of Mass, including the solemn blessings. Now, on the back of the Missal in the appendix, there's a tone for a simple version and a solemn version of the solemn blessings. We had those pointed, which means that the prayers themselves are accented so that the presider can go along with the tone for the music. And Michael recorded all of that. And the first CD is called Learning the Chants of the Missal, and it's the order of Mass. It's all a cappella, so presiders can listen to that and learn the chants. He's also done one for Sundays and special solemnities and feast days that from the proper of time and from the proper of seasons, which is the collect, the prayer over the offerings, and the prayer after communion, as well as some prefaces that are in those parts of the Missal.
The phrase noble simplicity certainly applies to that chant.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I've been watching everybody at LTP working like crazy. What all goes into, you know, from the publisher point of view, into the creation of a new Missal? How do you make sure that you got everything right on 1,500 pages of text?
Well, our perspective is both beauty and function. we need to make it pastorally accessible to those that are using it. So we need to look at durable materials. How sturdy are the tabs? How sturdy are the ribbons? Are they going to hold up? And this is, you know, this is a book that's used every day, sometimes more than once a day, especially on Sunday. So it's got to hold up, but it needs to look noble. It's for, you know, it's for ritual, it's for liturgical ritual, and it needs to be beautiful and dignified. You know, we were waiting a long time for the text to be received from the bishop. So once we had the final text, everything went into high gear and designing and receiving the layout and making sure that the page breaks are going to be practical and accessible and so forth. So a lot of time and effort went into this, and Anna has done a great job working with the artist for the interior art, which is beautiful and contemporary, yet traditional.
The biggest concern that people had coming to the booth at the Musicians Conference was the weight. Mm-hmm. They're like, my servers are never going to be able to hold this. So a little third grader happened to come by. He was just a skinny little kid. And I said, okay, young man, I need to do a test with you. I said, I need you to pick up this book, open it up, and hold it. He goes, well, I'm a server. How did you know that I'm a server? I'm like, I didn't know, but I need you to do this test for me. He picked it right up, and he stood there. So whenever anybody came by and was concerned about the weight, I said, it's already been tested. A third grader can do it. So can anybody else.
Sometimes pound for pound, those little guys are stronger than the big guys.
That's right. It's determination.
I'd like to go back to the functionality of the book.
Sure.
An important thing also is the selection of the fonts used that to make sure that they're very legible.
Yeah, we had people specifically asking what font it was that we used. What is our font? Is it?
Well, we kept the Palatino of what was given to us in the files. For the sans serif font, we chose Stone Sans. ITC Stone Sans, which is modern and very readable.
Yeah,
it's very readable font, and we kept with the bold for the presider's parts.
And it's a big size, 14
mm-hmm.
point?
Yeah, so it's extremely legible, and the paper is actually a beautiful cream off-white so that it'll reduce the glare.
Yeah. Now, Danielle mentioned the artwork, Anna. Tell us, how many different pieces of art are there within the pages of the Missal?
There's 15.
Now, I think another publisher had the same number. Was that just a coincidence, or is 15 the magic number? For
the USCCB had actually given guidelines in terms of what pages had to have art. We could have included more, but they said there were 15 pieces. For example, Immaculate Conception is the patronal day of the United States, so there's a full page of art for Immaculate Conception, for the Nativity, for Epiphany of the Lord, Ascension, Pentecost, Transfiguration, so many of the primary feasts that occur through the year. So there's 15.
Anna, tell us a little bit about the character of the artwork that LTP has chosen to put in the Missal.
Well, we were looking for an American style for this American book, and something that was engaging of the people viewing the art, and something dignified. So we looked at several artists, and this is the one that made the most sense.
Tell us a little bit about the art. I'm looking at a picture of the Last Supper, and it's black and white. And would this be characterized as pencil art? I wouldn't know how to characterize it.
It's would be characterized as line art.
Line art.
As opposed to full color art.
Okay.
Which is, it's by being one color of art, it gives a certain dignity and simplicity.
Yeah, so some people probably chose reproductions of medieval artworks.
Mm-hmm.
You went with this style because you said it's more in line with our American character?
Yes. Well, what we liked about it is that the figure, this artist was very good at fitting from one figure to multiple figures in a small amount of space, in a vertical space, which is a little bit difficult to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, we need to take another break. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation about artwork and the Roman Missal. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's theology of the body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Monday morning in Chicago, 9:22 in the morning almost, and you're listening to Relevant Radio AM 950, Catholic Community of Faith. We are the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, proud and pleased to be able to spend this time in the morning with you and grateful that you're spending this time with us. Please spread the word about Catholic Radio. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family that this is a good way to learn more about their faith, to learn more about the good works being done within the Archdiocese. We're talking this morning with Anna Manhart, who is the art director and designer at Liturgy Training Publications, and Danielle Knott, who is one of the editors at LTP. LTP is the publishing house owned by the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is respected around the country and across the world. We're very privileged, very fortunate to have this wonderful publishing house within our archdiocese. And they are one of seven publishers who are producing the new third edition of the Roman Missal. We've been talking about the artwork. The folks who kept coming to the booth at the convention that I recently attended were very interested in the cover. And I know that obviously the cover is important because despite the common wisdom, people do judge a book by its cover. And so this cover was very, very important. I know a lot of time was spent on it, Anna. Tell us about some of the technical challenges that you confronted, because I know there's a lot of decisions that you had to make, everything from the materials to the imprint to the design. Describe that process for us a little bit.
Well, it was testing of a graphical image applied to a sculptural surface. So there are very small spaces in between each of the little pieces that make up the cross. So we're testing a gold foil stamp on a material with a smooth surface, and it reacts differently with different materials. So we tested very different materials, and the first time around, it didn't really work. It was filling in a little bit with the gold foil. So there were some, it included a trip to the bindery itself to talk with the master binders who have a combined experience of about 60 years. And so they taught me about how you need to keep a certain amount of space. And we're talking fractions of an inch, like 32nd of an inch.
Wow.
So we just worked through it and did some testing as far as going to the point of making the metal plates, and just tested it until it worked out. where there was crisp, clean lines of the graphic art.
Yeah, so you're talking about the design of the cross. It's not just a solid cross. It's like it looks sort of like a Celtic design in a way. Would that be fair? I know that's it's not really, but it has a little bit of that feel.
There's a different foliage in the cross. So we have leaves and spirals and lyre shapes and heart shapes. And so there's just minimal space between the little pieces of the cross.
Yeah, well, I've always been fascinated how, you know, even on my home printer, that when it prints letters, it can leave that tiny little space in the middle of the R, you know, or the middle of the P. I have no clue how that happens. So I can imagine that when you're putting a gold foil on a cover, that when you got tiny little spaces like that that have to be left open, it must be a technical challenge.
You have to allow for the slope of the material when it's pressed in, well, when the stamp is pressed into the material, there has to be a little bit of space in between things.
Yeah. Now, you've got 15 pieces of artwork. Do you have a personal favorite among them?
I enjoy how the entire set of art turned out as we worked through it. If I had to choose one, I enjoy the Saints Peter and Paul because it's a portrait, and I like portraits, and they're looking directly at you, and I enjoy how the artist included the symbols within, integrated the symbols within the piece.
Oh, there it is, Peter and Paul. So
The artist also has an architectural background, and so he included St. Peter's in Rome.
St. Peter's Basilica is in the center.
Yeah. And then in the
St. Paul has a really long beard and a big sword.
And in the far distance, you can see a sailboat on the water.
A sailboat, which symbolizes? Is there a particular symbol? I see it now.
If you want to learn more about the art, it's described by the artist himself in the book itself.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got all these little...
He has a scriptural rationale for everything he put into the art.
I understand that St. Paul is always depicted with a high forehead.
Interesting.
I
did not know that.
And this guy has it. In this illustration, he's got a high forehead because it signifies the wisdom and you know, the intellect that St. Paul is known for. And St. Peter, of course, is carrying the keys. And that would be a carpenter's... what do you call that?
Cross that he was martyred on.
Oh, there it is. It's an upside-down cross.
Yes.
Yeah, he was martyred on an upside-down cross.
The artist really developed the characters of the people consistently through the artwork. Originally, he started out with a Christ that was a little bit older, and we worked with him to develop it to make him younger.
A little bit younger.
The age that he actually was.
So when people go to church on Sunday and they see this enormous book up on the altar, it's got a beautiful cover, and it's got, you know, 1,500 pages of text, and... You know, it's easy to assume, well, that's just a book you go to the store and you pick up off a shelf. No idea the months and months of work that it takes to get it to look that way, to make sure every comma is in the right place.
Right.
I know even up to the last minute that...
Oh, we were doing extensive proofreading, and it's very detailed to the point of text can be black, but the parentheses around the text are red.
Whoa.
Because of the rubrics. So you have to make sure, and there's asterisks that are black and asterisks that are red. And so we have to be very, very careful to make sure that all that's correct. So we've sent it through numerous rounds of proofreading to make sure that everything is as correct as possible.
And to think that every line on every page of those 1,500 involved a decision, you know, by a human being who had to look at it and very carefully make sure that it was the way it was supposed to be.
It is the work of human hands.
It is the work of human hands. Praise be to God. Well, I want to thank you both, Anna Manhart and Danielle Knott.
Thank you.
For the work that you've done on this missal. It's something that's going to influence the life of the church for many, many years, and that will help all of us to pray. So thank you, and thanks to LTP. You've been listening to Catholic Communion of Faith. We're going to continue. We're going to introduce you to a young man who is going to remind us about the importance of keeping our commitments. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
You're invited to join teens and young adults from throughout the Chicago area and the Midwest for a wonderful night of music, fun, and worship under the stars.
Come to World Youth Day Chicago Style, a gathering of young people that coincides with the concluding mass at World Youth Day in Madrid, Spain.
The festivities begin Saturday evening, August the 20th, at the Our Lady Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines. Watch Pope Benedict celebrate Mass in Madrid and take part in our own worship services. There will be food and entertainment throughout the entire night.
Go to www.youthministry-chicago.org for details and to register. That's www.youthministry-chicago.org.
You can also get updates on Facebook at keyword World Youth Day Chicago.
Get some rest, and we'll see you August 20th for an all-nighter under the stars.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we at the Catholic Archdiocesan radio station here are very grateful to St. Clair for her intervention this weekend, keeping us dry in the midst of a very wet lower level at the Archdiocesan Pastoral Center. The radio and television studios are located in the lower level, and it seems that we are an island of dryness amidst a sea of wetness this weekend, when we had record, the most rainfall in a single day in the history of Chicago. It just came pouring in through the window wells of the lower level of the Pastoral Center, but it never got to the TV and radio studio. So we are giving full credit to St. Clair because she is the patroness. You're probably wondering, why St. Clair? She is the patroness of radio and television because she has a vision. When she was too ill to go to midnight mass with the sisters and St. Francis, while they were all celebrating and she was home alone, she had a vision of the entire liturgy. And when the sisters came back and said, "Oh, Mother Clair, you should have seen the mass. It was beautiful." She says, "Oh, I did. I saw the whole thing." So she was made by the Holy Father, the patroness of radio and TV. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for being with us. We welcome to the program right now Peter Makaitis, who's a very young man, looks younger than he even is, and he's a published author. Three times over?
Two books.
He is the author of Team Up, Becoming Accountable to Your Dreams. I like that title, Becoming Accountable to Your Dreams, and also The Student Leader's Field Guide. Peter's books and presentations are all about insights on accountability and improving our lives by being true to ourselves and to our own promises, Peter's also a certified Myers-Briggs Type Indicator practitioner who holds degrees in organizational administration and finance from the University of Illinois. Welcome, Peter.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Do I call you Peter or Pete?
More Pete, but whatever you feel comfortable with.
All right. Myers-Briggs, I'm certified to do the Myers-Briggs.
Maybe no kidding.
We can talk alphabet soup here this morning.
Oh, I'm curious to hear your type, yes.
Yeah. You're going to have to guess it.
Okay.
But not right away. Not right away. I understand that all of this that you're involved with started when you were just a young college student. Tell us your story about you and your roommate and the pledge that you made to each other.
Oh, certainly. Well, it's really a lot of fun. I was living at Newman Hall at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and my roommate Connor, who is now at Mundelein Seminary, and I were chatting one day, and we were just kind of disgusted with ourselves and how we were kind of being lazy, kind of slobs, kind of not taking care of business in some ways. And while we were doing this, he just asked, do you think we should hold each other accountable? And, you know, I had no idea how profound that question would have been for our conversation, a relationship in life. But I just told him up front, it's like, well, that sounds smart, but I'm kind of scared by that, as I thought we'd be doing a lot of, you know, pounding and yelling at each other. It didn't sound pleasant. But then a third person joined the conversation, and we just really got a lot of momentum. We said, well, yes, we should do this. We should, in a spirit of prayer and working together, we should establish some goals that each of us are going to commit to tackling every week. And then we will check in with each other to see how that went, and then offer some loving fraternal correction and admonishment and support and congratulations. And sure enough, over time, we developed some just fantastic habits, and about 40 other people saw what we were doing and started their own groups. And it was just a thrilling time.
What kind of commitments are you talking about? What were you checking each other up on?
Certainly. Well, our overall focus was really to just develop good habits and virtues that would live with us for on and on. And so we opened it up by sort of just actually brainstorming, you know, what do you think are my weaknesses? What do I think are your weaknesses? Which took a lot of really, I'd say, courage and loving humility to be able to handle that conversation. But, you know, we all did it because we supported each other. But, you know, there were things like prayer, exercise, moderation in drink, chastity. It's just a good variety of things that we wanted to put our attention on, but they were just falling by the wayside.
That sounds really impressive. Where did all that come from? I mean, most college guys are not going to be checking each other on moderation and drinking and chastity. What kind of background were you and your roommate from? You say now he's at Mundelein Seminary, so obviously there's a faith component in his life. Was that also true for you?
Yes, it's true. And in our particular accountability group, our Catholic faith was central to it. And so, you know, we opened and closed in prayer. We kicked off the whole adventure with a confession to get things going. But I'd say, and just living at Newman at the University of Illinois was a very special environment in terms of there was just a lot of support in terms of priests and religious being available, daily mass, confession, adoration being just steps away. Yeah. You didn't have to put on shoes. So it was a really great environment in that way. And because we were grounded in that area and we had a frustration we wanted to tackle, it just seemed kind of natural that we would do it in that context.
What kind of high school experience did you come from?
Well, I went to Catholic grade schools, preschool through 8th in Danville, Holy Family School. But then I went to a public high school, Danville High School.
Uh-huh. And was faith important to you during high school, or did that come more to life when you got to college?
You know, it was pretty important. I mean, I think college is really what put it over the top.
Yeah.
You know, I think I got involved in a youth group, which was very influential in my faith life, because it was among the first times that I had seen, I guess, normal people like really mean it when it comes to their faith.
Yeah.
As opposed to just sort of siding the party line that we had to learn or whatever in religion class, or like the priest has to say that, or the teachers have to say that. But here were normal people who were living their faith and were sort of more alive and fun and interesting because of it. And that was very appealing.
All right. Well, we've got a remarkable young man here who's written 2 books, and we'd like to give you a copy of one of them. But you have to call with a question. So if you give us a call at 312-255-8408, 255-8408, with a question for Peter, then you could win one of his books. You're listening to Catholic Radio. We'll be right back after these brief messages. Do not go away.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, flying solo this morning, and grateful that you have chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. We're talking to a very interesting young man, Peter Makaitis, who in college made a pact with his roommate to hold each other accountable to their dreams. You know, I think it was in fourth grade that my grade school teacher had put on the board a quote about dreams. Let's see if I can still remember it. Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Mm. You can keep that. You can use that quote.
That's
there,
nice.
Peter.
Write it down.
Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Our dreams are important, but we can lose hold of them. And this young man, very wise beyond his years, to realize that you can't do it alone. And so he and his buddy made a pact to help each other hang on to their dreams. Peter, did it work out? Was it helpful?
Oh, absolutely. It worked out. Like, for example, one of my first dreams there was to write a book. And so I've been sort of toiling away off and on, more on breaks with real inconsistency. But once I had this accountability process in place, it got really serious. It's sort of like every week I'm supposed to have 1,000 words drafted. And then they would ask me, what happened? And I'd say, oh, I got them drafted. They wouldn't say, nice job. Or it's like, no, I got about 200 words. Like, so what happened to the other 100? What was the holdup? What was the difficulty? I was like, oh, I was busy. They're like, well, I saw you watching about 10 episodes of 24 this week. You probably could have found some time in there. And so it was very useful. So once that was in play, I was producing consistent words and ultimately finally got it done.
Yeah. And now you are making your living from going around the country and speaking to groups about this process. And would it be fair to call you a motivational speaker?
You know, you could call me a motivational speaker. I do speeches and workshops. There's a few topics. I do work with leaders of student organizations. I can conduct Myers-Briggs workshops, and I also discuss this topic. So I do some freelance writing projects. So when you add them all together, yeah, it is my living, and I'm self-employed and loving it.
So you're in front of a group of college students. Say there's, you know, 150 kids out there. What are two or three of the main points that you're going to want to make to them?
Oh, that's fun. Thank you. Well, I'd say one is that it's absolutely possible to make a real difference and impact on something now, and that there's no need to wait until, you know, someday when you become a leader or have resources or money or people working for you, like that's when you matter and that's when you can do something. I think that's kind of backwards thinking. There's a lot of college age and younger people doing extraordinary things on a big scale. So that's one of them. And the other I'd say is to really just focus in and form some good habits now and explore just as much as possible during these special years because a lot of people, I think, give insufficient thought to really what are their dreams, their passions, their strengths and interests, and what are the opportunities available, and what are the trade-offs, and what's really the optimal choice for them personally.
Yeah. You know, when I was your age and younger, I was very much involved with a Christian community. And, you know, that's no longer an active part of my life, but I very much miss it because one of the benefits that I derived from it, I think, is exactly what you're talking about. I was in the company of like-minded people who shared my values, and their adherence to the faith inspired me and helped me to be more accountable to my own faith.
It's beautiful, and there's some nice synergistic effects, and you see what they're doing, and it's inspiring, and they see what you're doing, and it's inspiring, and you really feed off each other.
So when you say that you don't have to wait till you get older to start making a difference, I suspect that that's one of the things that you're talking about, is that college students can really impact each other for the better or for the worse. You set a good example, others may follow the good example. You set a bad one, and others may be inspired to be as bad as you are.
Absolutely. And those friendships can certainly just last a lifetime and really affect sort of who you are and what you do and the impact you make.
Now, you said your roommate wound up at Mundelein Seminary.
That's right.
Could you see that coming back when you guys were living together?
Yeah, well, it's fun. And I think everyone wants to take credit for, you know, a priest or an almost priest, as it appears. But no, I could tell that that was something that was on his mind. But it was fun that going through the accountability process, I remember once he committed to doing an hour of prayer every day. And so the other two of us were just kind of astounded, like, wow, that's a lot. That's so impressive. And he said, well, you know, I'm almost there now. It's just a matter of consistency and making sure it's, you know, a little longer and a little and happening every day. And so we were impressed. And I think like that was, you know, one of many factors that helped him in his discernment. And so, you know, we were there as he, you know, found a spiritual director and was continuing to do some more thinking. We went on a couple seminary weekends together to check things out. So yeah, it was fun to be a part of that process.
Yeah, I'm sure the support of his buddies was no small factor in his ability to be consistent in that commitment.
Certainly, yeah. And when he wasn't, you know, he heard about it from us.
Yeah. Now, did you guys choose each other as roommates, or were you just thrown together in the pool of freshmen?
No, I lived at Newman sophomore year through senior year, and so he was 1 year younger than me. So at first my sophomore year I had a random roommate, and then I got to know Connor, and we hung out more and more and more, and ultimately we chose each other for the subsequent years.
Now, we asked you folks out there, if you're interested in winning one of Peter's books here, just give us a call at 312-255-8408 and just ask him a question. You could just ask him how old he is, you know, or whether he's single.
How old I am.
Yeah.
I am single.
He is single. So if you've got a daughter out there, just give us a call. There's a really fine young Catholic man. You mentioned Myers-Briggs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. A lot of folks have probably heard those words and have no clue what they refer to.
Oh, certainly. Well, I've been fascinated by the Myers-Briggs since high school or before, when I took a little online quiz and I read some descriptions, and they were just like frighteningly accurate. Like, wow, that's really who I am. And it sort of was very illuminating and insightful. So a good portion of my first book, I'd say maybe 20%, you know, had a lot of factors associated with that. But so broadly speaking, the Myers-Briggs is a typology or a system of cataloging different people's personality preferences. And it's based on the psychological work of Carl Jung and then really built out and developed by many, many psychologists over decades. And so currently it is sort of the most used personality assessment, which has been validated over many iterations and trials. And then when you go through it, you ultimately end up sort of knowing your preferences along four key dimensions, and then they combine to make a type that can be pretty instructive in how you interact with other people.
So it tells you about where you get your energy.
Indeed.
In the inner world or the outer world.
That's right.
Being an introvert or an extrovert. It tells you about how you gather information.
This is from the textbook. You are certified.
Hey.
Sensing or intuition.
That's right. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that because we all have a type. We all have preferred modes of operating in the world. And maybe we'll tell you a little bit more about that when we come back. You're listening to Catholic Radio, and we'll be right back with you after these short messages. Please stay with us.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to the dedication of the Healing Garden at Holy Family Parish in Chicago. We'll attend a Catholic Charities photo exhibit with a unique twist. And we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of Filipino ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
And welcome back to Catholic Communion of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and it's 9:52 on this Monday morning. We have David on the phone with a question for our guest, Peter Makaitis. So, David, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
We're very well. And what's your question for Pete?
Quick question. Peter, if you're thinking of forming like one of these types of groups, do you have any general guidelines that you could recommend, like, you know, the number of people, or you know, how much is too much, or does somebody like set the goal and then the others see if they follow it or not, or do you all just have input together as to what you would do? Any guidelines on forming a group? That's basically what I'm asking.
Oh, certainly. Well, there are many potential ways to get started, and I think you're off to a great start by having called in. It means you've won a book, so you'll find many such tips and solutions in Team Up. So,
right.
Little plug. But I'd say, generally speaking, it can go in a lot of different configurations in terms of whether it's sort of light accountability or really in-depth, like sharing of lives and what's happening on a regular weekly basis. And if you're going with a sort of more in-depth approach, I would recommend keeping the number at two, three, or four people total, because if everyone's sharing about their life and week and everyone else is commenting and offering sort of insights to that, then sort of that time factor will expand exponentially, such that it can end up consuming, you know, a long, long time to just sort of go through the basics. So that'd be one point. Also, for the goals, I'd really recommend that they be something that you genuinely care about, that will get you going, something that maybe you wish you were doing, but you're just not doing. And if you had that extra helpful, accountable pressure, you would really appreciate it, as opposed to feeling like it's a drag and an obligation and a nagging hassle upon you. In terms of the people, I'd recommend that you get the folks that you're just absolutely closest with, that you love and you are comfortable opening up and sharing your strengths and weaknesses, and that they're comfortable doing the same with you, and that they will respect your value system, you know, your faith or other things that are very important to you, as opposed to thinking that they're kind of silly, because that creates a kind of an uncomfortable dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, David, thank you for your call, and stay on the line. So make sure we get your address, and you will get a copy of Pete's Team Up. Now, let me read you a couple of the endorsement quotes on the back cover. This is from the founder of Mental Karate, a best-selling author and one of Oprah's 20 unforgettable moments. He says, "I rank Team Up among the finest personal development resources ever created. Pete provides profound wisdom in a hilarious package. Extraordinary."
Oh, thank you.
That's a darn good endorsement. Here's another one. Matthew Kelly. Now, Matthew Kelly, those of you who read the Catholic New World, Cardinal George wrote about him. He was a speaker at the priest convocation that occurred a couple weeks back. He was a big hit. He's from Australia, international speaker. He has read David's Pete's book, and he says, "Everyone needs people who team up on their team. This is a fabulous book that helps us rediscover the core of excellence, which is accountability," from Matthew Kelly. How do you rub elbows with such highfalutin folks like this?
Matthew Kelly is, and Maui, well, I don't know. I just love all those guys who are on the back of them, and I was honored that they were willing to provide an endorsement.
That's excellent. God bless you for that. So this obviously is a good book. Tell us a little bit more about what somebody would encounter in this book called Team Up. Now, wait a minute. First of all, how can somebody get a copy of this book?
Oh, sure thing. Well, you can, if you Google Team Up Pete or something like that, you'll sort of enter the whole, my whole web world. Either my website, PeteMacitis.com.
Macitis is spelled M-O-C-K as in mock, like a mockingbird. M-O-C-K-A-I-T-I-S.
Oh, thank you. And if you Google anything remotely like that, Google will say, "Did you mean Pete Macitis?" Which is kind of exciting. Makes me feel affirmed that I am somebody, Google.
That's right. Once Google can finish your name, then you know you're somebody.
So I'd recommend if you just Google it, you'll find it on Amazon or my website. Or if you go walk into any bookstore, it's carried through the major wholesalers. So most likely it will not be in their inventory, unfortunately. But they will have it readily available for order. So you can just get it any traditional book locations. What you'll encounter in the book is basically two halves. The first half is a narrative, and that just sort of tells the real story of Connor and myself and Jeremy and how we sort of the conversations we had and how we started going and evolving into this process. And then the second half just covers some basic principles that apply to any kind of accountability structure that would be useful in terms of making things happen and building good habits.
Yeah. You know, your title, Becoming, or subtitle, Becoming Accountable to Your Dreams, presumes that we have dreams.
It does.
You know, and I think we all do, but sometimes we forget them. So it seems to me that the first step is getting back in touch with the dream.
Absolutely. And a lot of times I'll see that in groups. Like they'll pick goals that they think they should take on for whatever reason, you know, either because they've heard it from their parents or their friends or whatnot. But it's clear a few weeks in that's not something that's really resonating with their heart and who they're meant to be.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, along the way you picked up the goal of making a lot of money, but maybe that was never your dream.
Certainly.
You know, might have become a goal, but maybe the dream was to make a difference. Maybe the dream was to start a band, you know, maybe the dream was to paint a painting. And if that's the dream, any tips on how to resurrect those dreams?
Oh, boy. Well, I'd
say... In 30 seconds?
Ooh, I'd say just start small. You know, think of one simple thing you can do right now that doesn't require, you know, tons of money or changing your life and, you know, take a small step and just keep going with it.
Well, I really want to thank Pete Macitis, author of Team Up, Becoming Accountable to Your Dreams. He's also a speaker. He goes on the national circuit, and you can get a hold of him how?
Sure. Well, I'd say again, if you Google something resembling my name, Pete Macitis, you'll find my website and you'll be able to...
Through the website, they can get a hold of you.
Fax me, call me, tweet me, whatever works for you.
Fantastic. And we want to thank our producer, Diane Dunnigan, our engineer, Michael May, and most of all, we thank you for listening to Catholic Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Have a wonderful day and a great week. God bless you all.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.